Rockford parents, teachers, and clergy members have gathered several times recently to address the disparities in educational opportunity for white and minority students. Alderwoman Linda McNeely hosted her second town hall meeting about it last month. Raquel Backeberg, Yekoya Muhammad, and Lavandra Dishman were among the audience members to speak.
Teachers are of the mind that all children can learn. That's what all teachers sign up for.
Racism is not just a Confederate flag. It's not calling somebody the N-word. It's not being prejudiced.
My granddaughter asked me tonight, was I going to fight for her education? I need help because I'm fighting.
This wasn't just a one-time sentiment. Many of the same people have been showing up at school board meetings and other forums on school resegregation. The discussion was revived recently after the Rockford Register-Star published an analysis of how race and student achievement play out in the district's best and worst schools. Reporter Karina Curry looked at the scores for each school on the state's annual standardized tests. They're known as the Partnership for Assessment of Readiness for College and Careers, or PARC. Then she looked at the racial makeup of each school.
And then we started to look at if we found any commonalities among the best schools and, you know, the best performing schools on the state test and the worst performing schools on the state tests. And that's when we started to see kind of like a separation and a difference in what the racial makeups of those schools were.
More than 28,000 students attend Rockford Public Schools. The racial makeup is roughly one-third white, one-third black, and one-third Hispanic. In the 1990s, a lawsuit led by concerned parents called People Who Care eventually resulted in a court-ordered desegregation plan. Every school had to be within 15% of the district's overall racial makeup. Curry says most of the 20 schools she evaluated, the ones with the best and worst test scores, wouldn't reach that standard now. In 2010, the choice model was scrapped. Now the district has returned to a system where students attend schools near their neighborhoods. Curry says choice and zones are sensitive subjects in the community.
There are a lot of people who really support the concept of zones, and I think there are just as many people who would like to see, not necessarily choice, they want better. The community can be doing better for these children who are in these the lower performing schools. And they'd like to see some changes done.
Dr. James Cohen says integrated classrooms help everyone, not just students of color. Cohen is an assistant professor of education at Northern Illinois University. His research focuses on literacy instruction for immigrant and non-native English-speaking students.
If you never have the opportunity to work with people who do not look, think, act, speak, behave, believe like you do, then you think the whole world is just like you. With diversity comes power. People don't know how to work with each other if you don't have diversity. It's really, no pun intended, but it's very black and white.
Cohen says all parties involved in education need to practice a commitment to diversity and multiculturalism if they want to increase the quality of education for all students.
We've been researching these issues for decades. The answers are not difficult. We have racial issues, we have income inequities, we have folks, whether it's teachers or the school itself or the school district, who view certain populations as less than, you know, they're othered all the time.
The impact on students raised in segregated schools is lifelong, regardless of whether they attend a primarily white or minority school. Erica Frankenberg is the director of the Center for Education and Civil Rights at Pennsylvania State University. Frankenberg says integrated schools help diminish the formation of prejudice and stereotype in children and young adults. She says diversity in the classroom enables friendships across races, which enhance social and psychological development. And all of this adds up to a future generation of adults better able to benefit their community and the economy.
For example, graduates of diverse schools are more likely to live in more integrated neighborhoods as adults. They report that they feel more comfortable working in more diverse workplace. So these are not only benefits for students, but also benefits for our society.
Frankenberg says segregation in schools disproportionately affects the academic achievement of minority students, since racially isolated minority schools typically have access to fewer educational resources. She says one researcher termed a group of Black and Latino high schools, quote, dropout factories, due to the strong correlation between minority isolation and low graduation rates.
It's not because those schools have a lot of Black and Latino students per se. It's because of the way in which we have systematically in our country not been able to have the same kind of educational resources. So fewer AP classes, fewer experienced, qualified teachers that remain at those schools, things like that that really matter for the kinds of education that students experience.
Frankenberg studied Rockford Public Schools as part of an analysis of districts that received grants to revamp how they assign students to schools after the court order was lifted. She says segregated schools aren't unique to our area.
One thing I think is really important to remember, and it's certainly the case in Rockford and other communities around the country, is that we're still a very residentially segregated nation.
Frankenberg says without a sustained focus on both residential and school integration, unequal opportunity for white and minority students will continue to exist. She says the best first step to closing the educational achievement gap is to acknowledge that race still matters in our society. It also is often linked to economic prosperity.
To simply go back to a neighborhood schools plan without acknowledging the ways in which neighborhoods are racially patterned and expect integration is just not going to happen. One of the reasons we've seen resegregation in districts that have ended their court-ordered plans is that you simply don't have that same kind of force in many places that still keeps this on the agenda for a school district to think about.
The Rockford Register-Star hosted another community meeting this week to discuss race and the city's children. More than 130 people attended. Sadella Hughes, a plaintiff in the People Who Care lawsuit, says Rockford is right back where it started prior to the integration efforts.
You know, the schools are just as bad as they were, or worse. And not only that, children don't have an opportunity. And parents, you know, everybody wants to say what the parents are doing. But what is the school doing? They don't say you need a study, because you got a room full of studies.
Sarah Dady is an immigration lawyer who attended Rockford Public Schools. Now a candidate for Congress, she says Rockford has always been a segregated city.
At this point, I think that it would be very important for our school board and our leaders in the community to admit that going back to school zones, neighborhood schools, was a mistake. And that we need to move forward by making sure that if the schools are going to be successful, the neighborhoods around them must be successful.
Bryant Moore is a social studies teacher in Rockford and the parent of a preschooler in the district. He's also running for state representative in the 67th district next year.
I would like to see the district take these conversations seriously. I was disappointed that the superintendent did not show up, and that's really disappointing because this is an issue that really affects the African-American community that you can see we're passionate about.
It's been more than two decades since the People Who Care lawsuit brought national attention to school segregation in Rockford. It's still a sore spot for many. Now the return of segregated schools has reopened old wounds. But reporter Karina Curry says it's an opportunity.
Probably one of the most important questions is about the kids that are in those poor performing schools and what needs to be done for them differently than what's being done today to kind of help ensure, like change their fate. You don't like the idea of these children attending these schools that score so low, you wonder about, you know, what's the future for that child? How is that child going to do well in middle school, in high school, in life?
I'm Dana Vollmer, WNIJ News.